Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Hey, welcome to Discovered Wordsmith, episode 70. And I wanted to say real quick, last week's episode with Jim Irving was the first second interview I've given. So if you haven't listened to that one, it's worth going back to listen to. He has a great book to help business-to-business leaders. Last time it was business-to-business sales. So it's nice to hear from Jim, and he was from Spain instead of Ireland this time. So it's a good little talk. Today I've got another second interview with Kevin J. Fellows, talking about his book, End of the World, and the new books coming out. And following this episode, we have a chapter read from that book. So give that a listen. And just a quick update, it is the week that I am going to New Orleans to join some other writers in a world-building event. This is one of Jay Thorne's mastermind world-building events. Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon, I should say. And we are going to go right into New Orleans, right into the French Quarter, dive into the culture, the feel, the smells, everything. And we're going to create a world to write vampire stories. And all the authors there are going to have vampire stories we're going to collect into an anthology. And then any money will go to charity. So it's something I'll tell everybody about. You should check out when we're done. So I'm very excited that we are doing that this week. It was supposed to be last year, but because of COVID, it got pushed off to this year. So luckily we are doing it. So before I ramble on too long, I will turn it over to Kevin, and stay tuned for the next episode for his chapter read. Kevin, welcome to Discovered Wordsmith podcast again. And I see you this time. This is great. I love the technological improvements COVID has bestowed upon us. So how are you doing today?
I'm good, actually, today. It's kind of a weird day, a day after a holiday. So It feels like a Monday, but it's not. So
right. Yeah, I feel like I've got a million things I got to get done and get caught up with, you know.
Yes.
I know when we talked clear back a year-ish ago about your book, you had said you got into writing because you had a heart attack. How's that going? How's your health been?
Oh, my health has actually been really good. I was doing some work last year that was extremely stressful, and that wasn't so good for my health and my heart, and I could feel it. So I stopped doing that work, really just focused more on the writing. I did had a checkup in June, and it was the best since the heart attack. So it was
good.
It was good. Everything is actually going in the right direction.
We'll attribute some of that to writing. That, yes. Writing helped save you. We'll say that's what did it. We can pass that along. It's official.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad. My father had his first open heart when I was still in high school. Mm. My personal health is always an issue,
right?
That I've got to keep in the forefront. And you know, I would hate to have all these great story ideas and not be able to write them. So,
yep, same thing here. I look at the list of stories and things that I feel are still, you know, you have a lot of ideas and they don't all work out, but I still have a list of things that I think are going to work out. And I want to be around to tell those stories.
Right. Agreed. Speaking of your the book we talked about last time, The End of the World, you've written more since then. Tell us about how your writing's been going, what you've got out there now.
I started writing under a pen name for a while. I'm still doing that. But a lot of the writing I did earlier this year has been under a pen name that I'm not ready to announce to the world yet as to what all that is. But it is in epic fantasy, and I did release a serial under that name on Kindle Vella. So okay. A lot of my time went really quickly towards developing that because, you know, Amazon made that announcement that it was coming to existing authors, trying to drum up, you know, stories and stuff for it. So I dove into that, said, I'll give it a shot. We'll try it. We'll see. That's still an open question as to whether it's worth doing. I did that and I did it under the pen name. So a lot of writing time went to that. Under my own name, I continue to write a lot of short stories. And I've been working on trying to send them off to professional markets and all of that, but also just writing them for my own collections. And I was working on a longer collection and something that I think might be out next year. I had these stories, though, that didn't fit. They didn't fit that particular collection. Many of them had been out in the markets and, you know, I'd had some editorial, you know, feedback and everything on them. And I just felt like these stories all kind of fit together in that, or most of them fit together in that they sounded a little bit like fairy tales. They're not based on any real fairy tales, but they have that sensibility about them. And then the other thing that I noticed, and I think we talked a little bit about this last time, is that one of the things I've learned about what I write is that I write what I call speculative fantasy. So it's speculative, like speculative fiction, and it's based on a real big what-if question. You know, what if this happened? But rather than using science or engineering and technology to tell the story, I put it in a fantasy setting. It's magic or it's a secondary world. It's something like that. So these stories that I put together in a collection that's now out are just the first ones where I kind of realized that's what was happening. That's what I was writing. And they all kind of felt like they had this fairy tale kind of feel to them. So I thought they went together as kind of a nice short collection to tide people over until I actually get something written. I am still working on the first book in my Arcane Depository series that I had hoped would be out this year. But based on the distribution delays that I'm seeing, probably won't be out till next year at this point.
Okay. What's the short story collection called?
So the collection is called The Enduring Mage and Other Tales. The Enduring Mage was a short story that actually some of my newsletter readers will have seen, though I've revised it a little bit. But it was something that I had circulated earlier, and I just really liked it and thought it deserved a wider audience, and it just became a good title for the book.
So do any of the stories tie into your previous books or your upcoming books?
The very last story in the collection actually is the prelude to At the End of the World. So that story literally leaves off right where At the End of the World begins.
Good.
There's a character viewpoint shift, and you can drop that story and pick up the book, and you just pick up the thread right there.
Good. So that's a great way to tie everything together with people. How's that been going? Are people enjoying the short stories?
I think so. It's only been out a week now. Came out last week, but I see there are downloads. It's ebook only. There are downloads and across at least a couple of different stores. It's available in all the stores, Apple, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, all of them, Amazon.
It's because personally, I love short stories. I've got tons of short story books, and my favorite seems to be like older 50s, 60s era sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why I glommed onto that, but I read. In fact, I just got where is it right here? The Legends over the weekend, book three, with Jordan and Terry Pratchett short stories. So I personally love short stories, but I know a lot of people say, "Oh, short stories don't do well." So I'm just curious, hopefully that'll help you with your past books and your future books. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I do it just because the same reason I like short stories. In fact, kind of during COVID, reading fiction has been challenging for me. I just can't seem to focus on it very well. And so I've struggled getting through longer books. But between poetry and nonfiction and short stories, I've succeeded in continuing to read those. So, and plus, as a writer, they're great because you don't get stuck on a long time trying to finish a project, right? You get a shiny new idea and you can follow it up fairly quickly. So,
right. Agreed. So you don't have to reveal anything, but you're writing it with a different pen name. Why did you choose a different pen name? Are the stories vastly different, or did you just experiment? Or
it's partly an experiment, but also one thing I discovered is that the people who seem to really like what I write under my own name are not big fans of traditional kind of epic fantasy yet. Epic fantasy is a big, successful genre, one that's kind of hard to ignore. But also, those readers also aren't the type of readers that are going to flip over and really like the things that I do under my name. So they're kind of like what they call the whale readers, the ones that read a lot in those genres, don't really stray too much from it. So I just thought it would be better to probably just do something separate. I have a lot of ideas for epic fantasy, and there's some tropes and things I'd like to challenge a little bit in subtle ways. I felt like that was something I wanted to do. I still wanted to write those stories, but I just sort of felt like it didn't fit to my name.
Got it. Okay. Under that pen name, you're writing some stuff with Vella, which I know I have a lot of author friends who are doing things with that. And I've heard ups, downs, good and bad. You seem to, it's been a little of a struggle for you.
It's partly a struggle to get a lot of episodes written. And I also found that for some reason, my natural length for the episodes actually went longer than my natural length for short stories goes. In order to be able to really tell a mini story that has a beginning, middle, and end, and then leave enough hanging for the next episode, seem to take more words. So my Vella episodes are about 4,500 words long. 5,000 is the max. I can't seem to write shorter than that. So it's been, I've got 5 episodes now done there, and the 6th one will be ready soon. So, it took a while to get that much written and out. So a bit of a struggle just for that. Also to learn to write in the serial style, what kind of a cliffhanger to leave, what kind of cliffhanger doesn't really work, those kinds of things. Right. And so it's an interesting challenge, and I enjoy that process, but it is work. And then there's the marketing side. So one of the things is that Amazon has not yet done anything significant in terms of marketing Vella to readers. If you have the iOS app, it'll show up in it, but they don't really push it. If you're on Android, you get nothing in the app. If you visit the store on the web, you'll see it there. So neither of those things are really pushing a lot of readers towards Vella at all. The other thing they did that's, I think, a bit of a struggle is that they allow, at least currently, they allow every reader to read 3 episodes of an unlimited number of stories for free. And so I've seen on Facebook and other places where writers are saying, readers are just story hopping. They read 3 episodes and they move on. They don't really feel a need to push on to that 4th episode because another new one sitting out there somewhere that they can just, which kind of tells you that the readers who are currently consuming it are not really invested in the stories so much as they're just passing time by reading. And as long as they can do it for free, that's great.
It's probably the same mentality a lot of my kids have, that they don't want to buy a whole album of music. They just want to buy an individual song they like.
Right.
And it's kind of killed that whole album thing. This hopefully won't kill for them reading a whole book. Short stories, a couple episodes, I'm good. But I wonder if a lot of them, if you had, this is 20 episodes in my serial. That's it. It's done. I wonder if they would continue because they also have that binge mindset. Oh, here's the complete everything.
Yeah. I wonder about that too. Although from the people that I have seen who have completed series, you know, 15, 20 episodes up and the series is complete, they're not seeing much difference in behavior at this point. Yeah. I don't know. I think at some point Amazon needs to just cap that somehow, you know. It's like you can get five different stories and get the first three episodes free or something like that.
Right.
Just some sort of limitation there would, I think, change people to say, okay, well, now I need to figure out which one I actually want to read all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same company that had the audiobook thing where you could return an audiobook pretty much at any time and get another one. So, not necessarily saying they're always making the best choices for writers.
Right. The other thing, though, is this isn't helping them generate any income either.
Right.
So, I think that's the one difference that might help in this situation is that if they want this to be successful and pay for itself, at least they need to do something different. But anyway, like I said, it's just kind of an experiment. And I thought I would try that under the other name and just see how that went. And it went actually reasonably well at first. The first few weeks it was out there, it was in the top 20, whatever category it was for tags I was looking at. You know, we talked about tags last time.
Right.
And Vella is really all about the tags. So
that's cool. See, there you go.
I took that.
Yeah, there you go. How are things going with End of the World? Since we're always working on something new. I know traditionally a lot of times, that book's been out a month, it's dead, we're done with it. But indies sometimes find that things get better as time goes on. How are things with that?
That's true. And I have found that to be the case. In fact, July, which is the most recent month I actually had data for, July was the best month that's ever had. Things dropped off a little bit in May and June. And then really just all of a sudden picked up in July. And I'm not sure quite what to attribute it, that to. I ran a promotion on the ebook on 4th of July. I made it, I forget, $1.99 or $2.99, something like that. And I ran a BookBub ad. And I didn't sell a single ebook that weekend.
Not good.
But the rest of the month, like I said, I sold more than any other month. And there's a couple of theories I have about that. So one was, I think we talked last time about BookBub sending me the email saying, your campaign's not working very well. You haven't sold any ebooks. And it was true, but I had sold, I had in that promotion, I had included links to traditional indie stores, IndieBound and bookshop.org. And people were clicking on those links. And later I discovered that, I got some sales through that. So it wasn't like it was ineffective at all. And on this 4th of July sale, I think some of what happened is that people use BookBub in different ways. And one of the ways that I know I use it is I rarely actually buy any of the ebooks in the emails that I get from them. I write them down. I put them on my list for things that I want to read in the future.
Right.
And then when I go to read that book, when I get to that point, I'm like, I don't remember where I heard about it. I just go and get it through whatever channel I prefer to get it from. I wonder if some of that wasn't maybe that's the way people use it. I mean, they talk about they have 25 million readers, but I wonder, if maybe 1 or 2 million of them use it like I do, and they'll never see that data.
Or I'd love to see data from past 4th of July weekends. Do people just maybe not read and buy a lot of books?
True.
Memorial Day, Labor Day, maybe they do. Maybe 4th of July, they don't. I really don't know.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do a sale each weekend to kind of test that. Maybe next year I can.
Have you found with your fantasy that when a new movie or TV show comes out that's fantasy based, you find that you get an increase in sales just naturally, or not really any correlation?
I haven't seen any kind of correlation, because I'm trying to think when the kind of the last real fantasy thing came out.
Yeah, well, I know Witcher came out, but then End of the World is, or Wheel of Time is coming out.
Right.
Soon.
Yeah, again, yeah, Wheel of Time, and then Dune is coming out too.
Dune, yeah.
Which, even though it's sci-fi, actually has a pretty strong fantasy vibe to it. I don't know. And they're so different. I mean, you know, Wheel of Time is very much that epic fantasy. So I don't know how that necessarily would work for a book like At the End of the World. The other thing that happened is book clubs picked up At the End of the World, which is nice. And one of the things that I have offered to do, and I know some other authors do this too, is I will do a Q&A session after the book club has read the book, and if they have questions and things of that nature. And I did that for a few different ones. And I really enjoy that. That I think that's one of the better ways to get out and meet your readers, is to kind of do a virtual Q&A session with people who have read it and they have questions.
Yeah, that's great. So they all read your book and contacted you. That's pretty cool. I mean, you weren't pushing that for anything.
I wasn't. I mean, I kind of do now. I mentioned a couple of times on Twitter that, hey, if you're in a book club, you know, I'll come talk to you.
So where was the book club located?
They're all virtual, the ones that I've done. So
you've done more than one.
I did a couple of them. I did two of them. And yeah, they're all virtual. And so people, there was one other, the reason I get confused, because there was one other I heard about, but they didn't invite me on to talk about it. So, but I've done a couple where, I've gone on and I've answered questions about it. And it's interesting to see what people's questions are and, see their reactions to the book. And that was good. And one of the big things that came out of it, and I will also say that my sister is a big pusher of this, is that they have convinced me that I need to do a sequel.
There you go.
I had not planned to do one because I couldn't actually figure out how to do it based on the way I left it. No spoilers, but there was really only a couple of characters I could figure out how to pick up and move forward with. And I thought, well, that's okay. But then I'm doing these book club things and people are like, wow, but I love this character and I love that character. And I want more of this. And I'm like, well, so I did find a way to bring everybody back together. So
cool. Got the band back together. Yeah. Man.
So I have started making some notes and things on how that's going to work out. And once I'm done with the first book of the Arcane Depository series, then I will jump back in and do the sequel to At the End of the World.
Wow. So you got a lot going on.
I do.
A couple different books and Vella and everything, along with book clubs and some of your best months. Well, hopefully you'll get the data for August and it's just as good or better than July.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And the other thing that I did, and I would recommend this for anybody, especially any independent author that really kind of feels like you're missing out on seeing your book on a bookshelf, contact at least one bookstore and find a reason to convince them to put your book in there and then go see it. It just, you know, it just kind of scratches that itch, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
I think I talked to you about the bookstore project a little bit that I'm trying to get going.
Yes, yes.
To get some books and not to earn money necessarily, but to say, hey, look, I've got my book in these bookstores.
I have to say it's really good. So yeah, there was one, because part of At the End of the World takes place in New Hampshire and there's a character from New Hampshire, I convinced a New Hampshire bookstore to buy a couple of copies and they put it on the shelf, and I went in and I signed them. I know at least one of them sold, so It was
nice. Good.
Yeah, but it was good just to go in and see it there. And they even took a picture of it and put it on Instagram or Twitter. I can't remember which, but you know, and it was like, okay, this is great. Like I said, it just scratches that itch and you can feel like you're a real writer.
Yes, I agree. I love that. And you can mark it down, you know, yeah. And you can get me in some bookstores, select bookstores.
Right. You can do more if you want to put the effort into it. But again, it's not really, it's more of a discoverability thing. And you have to look at it that way. You can't look at it as an investment in sales. It's not going to work.
Right. Right. Yeah. They go in usually looking for a certain book or two.
I did find that some readers had asked their local bookstores about the title, and obviously they can order it and, you know, it's print on demand. They get it. There were a couple who actually picked up the Ingram catalog and looked it up. And I did actually pay to put it in there.
Nice.
And I thought, oh, so they weren't going to order it if they didn't see it in the catalog? That seems strange to me because, you know, you just order it. But for some reason, for that bookstore, it just legitimized it in a way that otherwise it wouldn't have been, I guess. I don't know. I you can't explain book selling.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good tip to pass along. Might be worth the time if you got a lot of fans on your newsletter. Tell them to go to the bookstores and at this month, because that's when you'll be in the catalog.
Right. Yeah. Or the, I think it's seasonal actually. It's quarterly or something like that. So you're there for a while. Yeah. But, and I saw somebody on Facebook asking if it was worth doing, and I related this, but, you know, I don't know if it's really worth doing. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a discoverability investment. If you want to try it at that, the same as, you know, making your books available in libraries.
Right, right, right. And that's another thing. My son wrote a book when he was 16, 17, and the local library put his book in it. He gave a talk there.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to do a talk and get anything in the library yet. So I'm like, well, you know, what'd you do other than being a cute kid at the time?
Right.
So, well, Kevin, we're going to have another episode here of you reading a chapter. What are you reading from?
So I'm reading from the new book of short stories, and I was going to read, I think, the title story. I don't know if you want me to read the whole story or just to a natural break.
It's totally up to you. Whatever feels right and comfortable for you is perfect.
Okay, I'll probably just go to a natural break, and I may actually start. One of the things I did with this collection, I matched a poem with each story. Because again, I wanted to kind of give people a sense of who I was as a writer. I do write a lot of poetry. I have one short collection out and working on more. So each poem is thematically or somehow related to the story that follows. So,
okay.
So if you don't mind, I would start with the poem and then I'll start the story and just read to a natural break.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.